Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back tonight. It is March the 13th, 2017, and we're coming to you live this evening. Well, tonight we have a special guest tonight. I'm going to bring that special guest in a little bit later. But tonight we're going to be talking about encouraging husbands in intimacy. And we're going to expand it, and we're going to be talking about the intimacy in a relationship and covetousness and drawing to each other and relying on each other. So we encourage you to join us and listen for that. We have a couple announcements tonight. I'm going to put a scripture and a prayer and then share some upcoming events. Again, our Man Up event, 2017, our first event for the year, is coming real close here, about 6 weeks out. So we encourage you for that, but we're going to give you that information in a few minutes. Tonight, I'm going to open with scripture. We're going to be reading from Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. And we're going to start at verse number 1. And the word of God says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, such a one, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Father, we say thank you, Lord God. We thank you today, God, for friends. We thank you for wives and spouses, oh God. We thank you for helpmates, oh God. We thank you for the body of Christ, oh God. We thank you, God, for those men and women in our life who encourage and strengthen us and stand by us and support us. Father, we pray for the body of Christ today, oh God, that anyone, oh God, who is in need of uplifting and encouragement, oh God, that you will send your ministering angels, oh God, into their life, and you will send someone to be their friend, Lord God. Father, we say thank you today, oh God, for all that you've done in my life, oh God, in my family's life, oh God. We thank you for those men who are listening tonight, oh God, that they would take time out, oh God, and hear. And we pray that something is said today that will encourage them and uplift them, oh God. Continue to move, God, in the lives of your people. Strengthen us and keep us. And we thank you, Lord God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, oh God, for the redemption of our souls. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. Well, again, we're going to have you thank you for joining us tonight. We have a couple of announcements coming up here locally in the Baltimore, Maryland area. Our first one is coming up on Wednesday, March the 15th. For those of you who have been listening for the last couple of weeks, I've been telling you about it. And right now, today on Monday, they're predicting a big snowstorm for Tuesday. So the plan is to still move forward. The plan is still to have the event. Hopefully by Wednesday morning, everything is cleared up. If you're listening to me in Maryland, you can always go to the Issues Christian Men's Talk website, and we'll have an update if they have to postpone. But however, the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence 2017 Dialogue Series is going to be on Wednesday, March the 15th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Baltimore Washington Conference Center of the United Methodist Church at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. And taking a stand against intimate partner violence has to be a deliberate decision. To authenticate the decision, it should be followed by a clear and defined actions. Again, this is one of the things we talk about. When we take a stand against domestic violence, or we want to help, or we have to have a plan, we have to have a vision, we have to have a procedures and policies in place in the church, in our workplace. What are we going to do? You know, we always talk to leaders and elders in the church and pastors. Is there a plan in place in your church if someone comes to you and are victims of domestic violence, or we find out domestic violence is going on in the home, or children are being abused, or elderly, or or some kind of domestic violence circumstance comes, is there a plan in your church? Are your leaders aware? Are your members aware of what to do, who to contact, and how to find help and resources? So we invite you to come and join us for this discussion and get resources and get connected with those things that can help you set a vision and set a plan. You can go to www.wearehopeworks.org and register for the event. You can call at 410-997-0304, and you can contact them there. Again, that's on this coming Wednesday, God permit, in the weather, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. All right, on Saturday, by Saturday, it should be 50, 60 degrees and snow will be gone. The Men's Ministry of Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, located at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland, is having their monthly men's gathering, Boys to Men. And this month's topic is going to be, I'm saved, now what? So we invite you to come out and be encouraged, share your testimony. So in here, and again, if you're newly saved and you're a male and a man, a husband and a father, a son, sometimes we get saved and then now what? What does it look like? What does it feel? What is God expecting of us? And we just want to talk about it because, again, just because we come to Christ and secure and redeemed, now we have to go and walk this thing out. So now what's the next step? What do we do next? What things in our lives need to be changed? Where do we need to look at our life, look in the mirror, know that we are a sinner, but now what is God going to do with us? So we encourage you to come out and join us on this Saturday at 10 a.m., March the 18th, at, again, the Jesus Lives Ministry Fellowship. Amen? You can also go to our Issues Christian Men's Talk website and get the information address there. Reach out to us, and we encourage you to come and join us. Amen. Our next event is coming up April the 1st. April the 1st. This is the Men's Discipleship Network, the 2017 Discipleship Boot Camp, When I Became a Man, The Epic Journey. It's going to be held in Brooklyn, New York, at 12020 Flatlands Avenue at the Christian Cultural Center. The pastor there is Dr. Pastor A.R. Bernard. And you can go also on our Facebook page and get the link for that. That's going to be held. That's a one-day event on Saturday, April the 1st, and we encourage you for that. They're going to have breakout sessions, some of the breakout sections. One of them is Breaking Bad, The Habits of the Mind. The other session, Four Things Women Want from a Man, Sex in the City, Your Wallet, Your Woman, and the Wide World of Sports. Some of these, I got to make sure I can get into a couple of them. Amen. But we have Faithful Fathers, Raising Great Kids, Money Matters, Your Pockets Full of Holes. You know, it's a lot to make a lot of money, but what are we doing with our money? And it's Kingdom of God. That's one of the things we're called to be able to be good stewards of. So we encourage you for that. Again, you can go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. You'll see the link. The registration, I believe, is $59, and you get all the information for that there. Amen. And again, now, our announcement, the Coalition of Ministries to Men, a Man Up event for 2017. Our first one is going to be held on Saturday, April the 22nd, 2017, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be held in Pasadena, Maryland at the Founders Association at 7825 Freetown Road. The doors open at 9:30, and we're requesting a registration donation of $20 to help support the effort. We're also going to be serving lunch. And this Coalition of Ministries to Men, some of the participating churches that are committed to come and join us, that we're gathering together, the men's groups, is Jesus Lives Family Ministries. Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, Victory Christian Fellowship, Covenant Life House Ministries, and Renovate Life Church. And we want to thank those pastors and men leaders and committed to come and join us together and come in the time of fellowship and teaching. And some of the things, I'm just going to give you a little taste of what we're going to be talking about there at that event. We're going to have three sessions that day. The first session is going to be Now That the Honeymoon is Over. That's our marriage section. And we're going to talk about the things that we have to look at and prepare ourselves for. And then the things that, you know, we have some brothers that have been married a couple of years. We've got some brothers that have been married 25, 10, 15, 5, or 2 years. Now that the honeymoon is over, and we want to be able to speak into the lives of husbands and their marriages, how to handle the stresses and the trials and the things that go on in marriage as two people come together and build a home and build a family. Our second session is going to be Strengthening Our Brother. You know, and that's one of the things we talk about is the responsibility, and not the responsibility, but the need for men to be able to minister and reach and evangelize other men. Some men need to hear the gospel from a man's perspective, know that the church is, you know, we all know that sometimes the church has a negative, men are seen, Christian men are seen in negative light sometimes, or, you know, and it's a struggle for the brothers who have full lives and come to the church at a certain age, and they, you know, they have stereotypes of what a Christian man looks like, what they do, and what they think. And one of the things is, it's that, you know, when brothers visit the church, they see all the brothers there dressed up and looking nice and think their lives are all together. They don't think they have struggles, and they are in the midst of a struggle. So we had to be, as men of God, be able to strengthen our brothers and also to spread the gospel to the lost. And our third session is going to be character, integrity, and accountability, the secret battle within us. And we're going to discuss some of the things that we as Christian men, again, the things that we struggle with, not overcome them and not succumb unto the pressures of life and to life in general, not to be able to run us over and run us down. But our faith will sustain us. God will sustain us. His word and his scripture has an answer for all the problems that we deal with in life. We just have to be in a place where we can go and be able to minister sometimes to ourselves and to our others. Amen? Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about intimacy. Intimacy. We're going to be first coming from the scripture in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. And I just wanted to share that real quick with you. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Amen. And when we talk about intimacy, we're going to come at it from another conversation. Amen. So even coming from another perspective. So we're going to, I'm going to bring in my guy, a guest here tonight. It's my wife, it's Desiree Fall. We've been married since 1983. It's like 34 years. So I had to do the math real quick in my head. Amen. But we're going to share a little bit about it, and I'm going to get her insight, because I know you hear Issue Christian Men talk about helpmates. We're going to talk about the importance of being connected with one another, and some of the things that we have to be able to do that what that covenant means when it says to be with one flesh and be connected. Amen. So, first of all, let me say good evening, Desiree. Far, how are you this evening?
Hello, Thomas. I'm doing great. Just loving my day.
Loving your day, amen. Well, let me ask you, you know, from when covenant, let's begin there. When the covenant and the bond of marriage, what do you think well, let me put it this way. What advice would you give a young couple, especially a young wife, when we talk about that covenant? Because we know there's a lot of different opinions and stuff people can get from good meaning church folk and from their families. But what do you see, and how would you share that?
Covenant is like, it's two people come together and bonding together and learning each other, and without the outside forces. Sometimes there is too many outside forces that comes in between what God had put together. So when we allow God to keep us together and let his word bind us together, we will not drift towards the other voices. People mean well, but they are not part of the covenant. The covenant is between you and your husband and God. So more just stay in the word and spend time in God's word, the closer you and your spouse become. What do you think, Thomas?
Amen, amen. I agree. And then one of the things, too, when we talk, because, again, we're going to bring this in on the topic of intimacy. We want to get your attention. But when we talk about that covenant, that bond and being one flesh, that's the intimacy. When we talk about emotional, we're talking about physical, but also we're talking about emotional support for one another. That bond that over the years will grow. But the trick is to be able to have a mindset early in your marriage. You know, for those who are in the church and get married, you know, it's there's something most pastors I know, most good pastors who are caring for people do marriage counseling, extensive marriage counseling, where they talk about everything. And if any pastor who's been married and married a couple of years, I put it this way. I suggest you get someone to do your marriage counseling who's been married more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it like that. Amen. But it's just that it's a lot of things that need to be looked at when you get away from the romantic side of marriage and get to the after the wedding, how are you going to live your life? There's a lot of things that go on in that intimacy is going to grow. And one of the things I always tell brothers is the woman you're marrying on your wedding day is not going to be the same woman 5, 10, 12, 15, 20 years down the road. And you have to prepare yourself for that growth. Honey, what do you think about that?
Well, babe, I think that's true because as we grow and we are evolving, we are picking up different aspects of our maturity in the word and life. And then life sometimes make you have to grow up and do things that you are not normally accustomed to doing. So the intimacy is really begins by studying your mate and studying what he or she is all about. You know, my intimacy with my husband cannot be the same as anybody else. Because if I want to sit and study you, I must spend more time to understand what you're about and how you function. You get a lot of background from other women, but you can't really take all of that because some day I'm talking about the intimacy between them and their husband. But when you need to be really addressing, what is God saying to me about my husband? Who is my husband? What makes him get stronger? What makes him think outside the box? How do I push him to go forward without trying to make him the man that I thought he should be? Re-imaging him into this little clay that maybe I saw when I was a child, what marriage should be. But once you get into God's word and get to understand the word, you understand that there's more than just me and him. God have a plan for both of our lives. But I don't mind being the helpmate, being on the side and being the part that he needs for God to push him to the front line. Just because I'm not in the front line doesn't mean I am not important. I know my role, and so therefore it continues to be a we. We are not walking as I or you. We are walking as we. We are moving in one direction, and God is pushing us in that direction. All right, huh?
Amen, amen. And that's one of the things what you were saying is correct, that we're a team. And, you know, and when the scripture talks about helpmate, I believe that's in Genesis 18, and it talks about the helpmate, and that's a role. Because, you know, one of the things that we learned a long time ago when we were married, well, let me say, I just share for those who didn't know, we were married about 15 years before we came to Christ. And my wife came to Christ first, and then I came, you know, a couple of years later. And in that process, what we did, I thank God for our first pastors and his wife, that we were able to be discipled or mentored, and then to come to understand what roles are. It's not about it's not about who's in charge. It's roles and responsibilities. And each marriage, I'll say this, each marriage is going to define what the roles are, you know, and a lot of things, because you're a team. And that's the real thing. When the scripture talks about the intimacy and becoming one flesh, and becoming, we'll go back to verse number 24, where we're saying, I want to find it because I want to be accurate in what I'm saying. When it says you became one flesh and they were both naked and not ashamed, that's what we should be with our spouse, naked and not ashamed, naked and not ashamed, because that's an intimacy. And that should be, and it's all not all physical. That's why we wanted to talk about this and get your attention, but now We want to understand being naked in our shame is also in our emotions. How we learn each other. My wife was saying we have to learn each other. We have to really learn each other. I mean, you could have been dating and been engaged for a couple of years, but then when it starts to get after the celebration, and when life starts to go in, everybody goes back to work. You have to deal with going to work and coming home and working together to maintain a household. All these things start to shape the relationship, and you have to definitely be mindful. And that's where, you know, the person comes out. I won't say the true person, but then it's how they deal with everyday stuff. You may or may not have known that, because again, you know, the body of Christ, we don't support living together and testing it out. So with that first apartment, that first home, you're starting to learn each other, because again, if you're truthful with yourself, this is some of the things that are talked about in premarital counseling. You're coming from two different families who can do two different things. You know, you could have came from a single mother, a single parent home, you know, so you don't necessarily define the roles typically. But then your spouse could come from, they have both parents at home, and there was a defined role in that house, and then the first thing you're going to go back to, you're going to have a default, and it will go back to that. So if you didn't come from that, you don't know that. So that's why your household has to be established, and you'll come together, and you're talking it out. And that's where we talk about communication. That's one of the biggest things, communication. And what do you think about the importance of communication all through the marriage, first in the early years, but then all the way through?
Well, in the earlier years in our marriage, communication was very difficult because I come from a single-parent home, and my mother was the only authority of this home. So actually being under authority and learning how to recognize it, I had to take that to prayer. You know, I remember when I first started the church, I had to say, what is a husband? I had to have God to explain to me. I had to go deeper into the word and have God to explain, what is a father? I'm asking him to be a father. I'm asking him to be a husband. But do I really know what I'm asking him to do? So I had to spend time in the word and study and figure out, God, what are you saying to me? What I want, a reality. My reality and my thoughts of a father in a home was only what I saw in other people's homes. And my desire to have a husband and a father in my home was more of my needs to be met. More like he needed to bring home the bacon and do all that, and make me, and I'll be home, and I'll cook your dinner or whatever. But that's more than the cooking dinner, and he'll come home, and that'd be it. But life goes on, and what happens after the dinner is made and the children are to put to bed, when there's no communication, and we're looking at each other, and, you know, and then there's nothing said. There were many nights when nothing said, and that's not what God wanted, you know. The intimacy was more than what I needed. I needed to be not just held. I needed someone to talk to, someone to take me to a place in my intellect that I had put on hold because of children and husband. So we had to explain to me, God, where am I in this? How do I make this my reality? And a husband became more than a boyfriend, more than when I'm used to. A boyfriend I could toss to the side when I got tired of him. But this man ain't going. How do I keep a man in the house when I'm not used to seeing a man in the house? So that role, I had to find someone in my life that was in that role. So I watched my first lady of my church. That's Terry Henson. I watch how she sat by her husband and followed how she respected and she gave him the respect and the stuff that he was drawn for, how she kept him up and encouraged him, and how I needed to learn how to do these things. I didn't always know how to do these things, but I was willing to learn. You don't always know, but you got to be willing to learn. If you're willing to learn, God is ready to use you. so you can't assume that because you see it somewhere else done is the way God wants you to do it. But you can. There is tools to look at. Other people have what you need, but you need to know how to get it without trying to imitate that person. You can't be that person, but you can pick up their principles and learn how to put them into your own life. And I thank God for people like that and other people when their marriages, great marriages like the Mitchells and other people that I know that had great marriages, and we was all coming up together and learning these things together. What you think, babe?
Amen, amen. And that's the thing we talk about on the Issues Christian Men's Talk when we're in the importance of, you know, one of the reasons that we say the church is the place. The church should be the place where people can look for the example of marriage. That the example of marriage is with self-help. That relationships are then teaching on how to love one another, to be that open, that naked and unashamed, and how, and see what the roles look like. Where there's not a, you know, we all know there's couples that we don't like to be around because they're always bickering, arguing, and going through. I understand being mentor, I understand being supportive and being friends and connected, but there's a time when there's people who just don't seem like they're working to get to that place, and it makes it very uncomfortable for fellowship. But again, that's a whole other discussion. But again, it is good to have a church, and that's where I think we all have to look at ourselves, look at our mirror, look at our marriages, and to ask ourselves, is our marriage being encouragement? Is our marriage being an example of the gospel? You know? The scripture talks about for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So if our marriage is not an example of Christ or the gospel, then people should see the gospel in our marriages. And I understand some folks have problems and struggles, but my question to anyone who's having problems in their marriage, especially the husband, what are you doing to make the change, to set the atmosphere in your home, to do something different? Is your marriage, I'll just say, I'll make it plain. Is your marriage the most important thing in your life? Is your marriage the priority? That's all you have to do. And then if it is, then go to God. Pray for wisdom. Pray for discernment. Pray that who you need to bring in to come up to help your marriage grow. We talk about discipleship and mentoring, but, you know, there's couples out there that you need to glean from, to learn from, that's going to speak into your marriage. It's going to tell you some of the things you did. To be honest, some of the things you're doing wrong, and you need to come at it a different way. It was as simple as that. Because, again, God has given a man, as a husband, we have great responsibility for our family. Husband and father is the greatest role, the most important role to God. God's not looking at your success on your job, how much money you make, how many cars you got, your home, whatever. But he's looking at your marriage relationship, because a lot of people take stuff to cover up weak relationships. I'll just leave that right there. Amen. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with my wife, Sister Desiree Farr. And we're talking about intimacy, and we're talking about marriage, to encourage the husband and to encourage and speak on in support of marriage at all of its aspects. So tonight, I'm going to continue and just move on. We're going to talk about trust. We're going to talk about that growing a trust relationship between the spouse, so between the spouses, that's unbreakable. And again, there's a level of trust in the beginning, and what and those things that we have to do to continue to grow that trust. But one of the things I want to talk about, how do we regain that trust after an episode? It could be anything. It can be a small thing, because some things are small to other people and some things are big to other people. But the importance of that trust, and for every husband out there, I say to you, there's a struggle, because once your wife can't respect or trust you, that's always a gap. That's a foothold. That's a stronghold the enemy always has, because she hasn't been able to reconnect, and you're not doing the things that you need to do to help that close that gap, that thing that separated you all, that broke it off, to heal that thing back together. And what do you think about that, the importance of a wife trusting and respecting her husband?
Trusting your husband. Wow, that's real serious right there. That trust is sometimes when in the beginning of the marriage, you find it real natural. But once that trust has been broken, and it's hard to come back after that. Because now, every time your word got to be your word. You can't tell me you're going to the corner store and you take 3 hours. You can't tell me you're going to so-and-so house and I can't find you. And if you tell me something, your word got to be your word. And once you broke that dead bond and you're still not keeping your word, it's hard to believe anything you say. So now I have to take it to a different level. I have to return you back to God now because God is the only thing I can trust at this moment. God has to reveal to me what is the issue that keeping you from keeping your word. A man who don't keep their word, ain't nothing you can say to him, your wife. Because your wife is depending on you to keep your word. Your word is keep your marriage. If you tell her that I'm going to A, B, C, and D, and you go to J, K, and L, you just lied. Ain't no way you can come back from that. Until you learn to get yourself back on track and get yourself back into the word, it's hard to come back from that. And then once it's been broken, it's your job to seal it back together. If you're the person that broke it, the covenant, the truth, and whatnot, if you find yourself that you're the one that came and broke the covenant, I think you should spend more time on the healing process and give that person the space to need to heal. Because trust is a hard thing to bring back. It takes God and the Holy Spirit to make their heart soft again. But the heart is protecting itself from another hurt. So if you want to stop the hurting, you got to stop the lying. You got to stop the deceiving. You got to stop the whatever you're doing and bring it back under the blood of Jesus. Because if you're not back under the submission of Jesus and you're not led by the Holy Spirit and you're still dipping and diving and diving and dipping, and you want this woman to come under subjection of you, you're not going to get it. The only way you can get your wife back to a place and your relationship back to that place is through the Holy Spirit. And any wife will be able to submit to a man who is following God. If he's following the Holy Spirit, we are willing to do what it takes to get this marriage working. We didn't get in it to get a divorce. We got in it to stay in it. But it's up to you to do your part to make us follow you and let you lead us into the place that God has taken us. You can't leave some place that you don't know. I can't follow where you can't lead. If you can't lead me, where am I going? I'm still out in the wind trying to find the place for me to follow. So show me how you want to lead me, and I will follow you. I will follow you all the way to the top if you learn to lead by God's example. Show me how to lead.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, man, all right, amen. This is Christian Man's story. As my wife says, Desiree Farr, we sharing some insight tonight because we want to encourage husbands. We're going to encourage wives and young couples. We pray all that day that this word is going forth to encourage someone to hang on again. We know that divorce, we know that separations, we know that things are going on in people's lives. But again, God can restore, God can redeem, God can reconcile. So we have to definitely be in a place where we're hearing God, where God can speak to our lives and encourage us. I wanted to go to one thing because we talked about that trust and respect thing. But I want to talk about the importance of being able to what it takes to restore. You know, I open a scripture in Galatians chapter 2. It says, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And when we talk about that restoration of bringing our spouse back, even if depending on whoever done wrong, the wife, the husband, but that process, how important it is to be able to restore one another and being a helpmate unto your spouse, you know, and as for husbands. The things we need to do to restore, even when our wife makes mistakes, she overspends, you know, things could happen. bad decisions, you know, whatever it is. There's so many, that's why there's so many things that can go, that can happen in a marriage that either spouse can do, but are we loving them enough that we're going to live with the word of God, guide our lives and guide our process as we process through, come together, that we restore one another, that our relationship is being restored and helped and healed. Amen. So we're going to, I'm going to ask my wife, she's going to share a little bit, because I'm going to ask her about that when this talks about spiritually, when we want to restore one, because there's spiritual, there's physical, there's emotional, and how do we have to be, I think in the spiritual part, I think the most important thing is that we have to be in a solid relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, and that we are connected, that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives as husbands, to be discerned, to have the wisdom of God, that we understand forgiveness, and without God, without being led by the Spirit, to be able to, I think that's the first place we have to be, because we couldn't look at the natural, we can't look temporal, we can't look at what's going on, but how do we, well, we're looking to always restore, even in a disagreement, or in a mistake, or even a failure. How do we handle our wives? And for wives, how do you handle your husbands when these things happen? Amen? What do you think, Sister Desiree?
Resurrection. It all begins with just enough faith to believe. If you believe that God can, He will. You know, and I always go back to my favorite scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, it's just faith. I have the faith to believe that God can. And once I have the faith to believe that God can, then I can have the hope to walk it out. I believe that God gives you the faith to see things before it manifests itself. I have the faith to believe that God can deliver my husband. I have the faith to believe that God can save my husband. I have the faith to believe that God is using my husband. But now, what do I do with that faith? Faith without action is dead. I had to put it into practice. Faith tells me that I need to submit. That word submit is not a sin. That word submit is your strength. That word submit holds the glue together. You have to learn to submit. First, you might not know how to submit. The first thing I had to learn to do, Lord, you're telling me submit to this man. Even though I know, my mind tells me that he's going to do it again. But I can't begin to stop listening to my flesh, my inner man, because I'm living off my past, his past mistakes. I'm punishing him for what he did yesterday or what he might do tomorrow. And instead of living in today, today says he's going to be okay. Today I say he's going to be strong. Today I say he's going to be the man of valor that you told him he's going to be. Today I'm going to see the vision you gave me of him. God will give you a vision of that man from which you need to walk it out. Begin to ask God how to see your husband, not the way you see him and what his falling part, but his victories, his deliverance, his healing. When he is healed, the whole house is healed. So God wants to heal the house. The only way he can heal the house is us to move out the way and begin to operate in faith. Faith is your weapon. Submission is your weapon. I don't care if he falls 20 times. It's not your job to punish him. It's not your job to put him under the wagon and run him over. The world is already doing that. Our job is to love him back to God, to love him in spite of the fact that he might not love himself. Can we love him? We can love our brother who came off the street, who just came off the street and an alcoholic, and we greet them with love, and we greet them with hugs, and we go around the church and we greet everybody. But what happened to the man that's laying in your bed? The man that's raising your children? The man that's coming home day after day, but we can't give him the same love we give a stranger? On the street, we feed the homeless. But a husband just came in, we won't even make him a meal. So what is it that we are doing that we can't see that is wrong? I'm just a woman here, and I'm trying to understand, if this don't operate at home, how's it operating out there? God used your home to teach you how to operate out there. First, start in your home. Love the unlovable. You go outside and you look for the unlovable. What about the unlovable in your home? God can make the lovable again. God can make it back to where it better than before. The path when you can see him coming in the door and you can greet him and really, really, really wants to see him come through the door. The weapon is yours. You have to learn to use your word. Use the word.
Amen. As she was talking, I was thinking about that gentleness. You know, the scripture talks about, when we talk about restoring one who has fallen, how do we deal with our spouse in the tenderness and care and towards the complete healing? Because, again, it's where is your heart set? Is your spouse, husband or wife, when they make a mistake, when we talk about restoring them, are we looking to bring them back to a complete healing, to a complete place, to back to their, to where they need to be? Because you know, we have to understand, our spouses, when they make a mistake, they know exactly what the mistake is. But the problem is, from the last time you blew up at them, or what happened the last time, how your relationship suffered, you know, that's where that eats at them more than anything else. I take us back to when we were children, when we knew we did something wrong, and we knew our parents was going to find out, and we knew we was going to get punished. So we had to wait. We had to go all the way home, or wait till our parents got home to hear the story. But we knew the punishment was coming, and that anxiety we have. Now imagine being in a marriage where something happens and you're walking around with that anxiety all the time and for years, and for every little thing you do or mistake that might happen or bad decision. That's where it goes back to when we talked about it earlier, becoming one flesh, when we're bound together. We are to get bound together and naked and unashamed, that we are each other's. We are one flesh. We're in it together. You're in it together with your spouse. And nothing that the enemy can do, nothing should be able to separate you from that, from your devotion and commitment to your relationship. And some of it is pride. Some of it is not wanting to compromise. Some of it is, you know, one spouse that has to be right all the time. They don't value the other's opinion. These are the things that destroy that bond, that flesh, that start to pull apart. The cleaving, the bonding, the becoming one flesh, it starts to tear. And as you know, when we look at flesh, anytime flesh is broken, anytime flesh is pulled apart or ripped or torn or cut, it leaves a scar. So that's what we want to do. We want to minimize, or we don't want any scars, but if we have a scar, are we truly healing? And what are we doing, and how do we heal? And again, and when we talk about, I just wanted to point on that gentleness is how we deal with our spouse in a tender and loving way to restore them back. And again, get the relationship back to where it was. Because there's really, in a marriage, there's not really, you know, the things that can go on and could challenge our marriage. So again, we should be the team. It should be the husband and the wife, and then there's everything and everybody else. So we go after, we attack, and we deal with these things as a team. Because, again, your wife is your helpmate, and there's nothing better that a man can do to have a helpmate and have the confidence in knowing that he has his wife by his side and supporting him. And personally, as a couple, or whatever, your finances, health issues, one person, your spouse, you could depend on the wife. Amen. Christian Issues, Christian Thomas Farr. We're here at Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can listen online for the rebroadcast and archive of all our shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can also link up with us on Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. Also, we're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. That's Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. And you can call in always at 646-668-2636. Share your opinion, share your insights, and be part of the discussion. Amen? So we got, I'm going to do one more thing in that humbleness, because, again, when we talk about restoring after a fall, restoring after a disagreement, you know, some of my marriage couple ministry leaders talk about the high intensity fellowship and in that disagreement. So we're going to talk about how important it is for that humbleness to remember that when our spouse makes a mistake and we're dealing with it and trying to restore the relationship and deal with the issue, even if we're upset or angry or whatever, are we in a place of humble? We remember that we too, what's going to happen when we make our next mistake and how are they going to treat us? So how will we want to be treated is how we should treat our spouse when things don't go right. What do you say, hon?
I agree with that. You know, the point is to allow people to, you have to allow people to make a mistake, because we are not perfect. God have not made any of us perfect. We will make mistakes. Mistakes come, but you know what? One thing I remember when I was going to all of these marriage conferences was stay on that one mistake. If I made a mistake today, don't bring up the mistake of yesterday, 2 days ago. That stuff should have been under the blood by then. Let's stay on the mistake that we need to discuss today. If we focus one mistake at a time, it won't be like a mountain falling on top of you. You can deal with that one mistake. But if I had done that same thing 20 times and you already forgave me the first 19, let's stay on that one mistake. Don't bring it 20 mistakes to me. Let me concentrate on that one, and maybe I can find the grace and the love to be healed from that one. If I got to go and keep digging up everything from my past, I ain't gonna never get to the top. I'm always being dug down, feeling like I can't never get to the top because it's too much weight on top of me. Let's deal with the one mistake and stay with it. That's how I see it.
Amen, amen. And that's one of the things, let me say this, because I want to really break it down, because when we talk about being a helpmate, we're talking about a wife in support of her husband. You know, my wife mentioned earlier when it comes to the S word, that submission word. But again, this is again where it comes in the body of Christ when we talk about the teaching of the roles and leadership and responsibilities in the marriage and in the family. And for a wife to believe her husband, again, as husbands, we have to be able to set the vision. We have to be able to communicate the vision. This is where we're going. This is the best option, the best road. I'm not saying that you come up with the vision alone. See, that's one of the things we forget. Vision is developed by the two of you coming together, set what the common goal is, and what you're willing to, and what steps need to be done to get to the common goal. And when there's a decision to go left or right, how many wives out there listening, or even your husband, because you know exactly who your wife is, if you make a decision, is she going to raise hell with you, or is she going to go along with it because she trusts and respects your decision, even if it disagrees the way she thinks it should go? And that's where the relationship is. And even when you may not make the right one, but when it's wrong, then it goes back to, you know, are you humble? And even if we go back to the husband, if you submit and you say, okay, we're going to do it your way, honey, it sounds like a better way, we go your way. But then if it goes wrong, do you want to bring that and beat her up with that and use that as a weapon against why you don't listen to her for the next thing? See, that's why our relationships are complicated. This is why we need the wisdom of God. We need to be in Scripture. We need to be prayed up. And our relationships need to be found, rooted, and grounded on a foundation where we're one flesh, we're in covenant together, and we are bound together to work this thing through. And that's where a lot of it, we lose it, especially in this culture and society, the way marriage is set up today. And that's why in the body of Christ, we have to get back to the biblical meaning and understanding of what marriage is, and thereby let God lead us and guide us and draw us together and build that covenant, cleaving together and moving forward. Amen. I'm Deacon Farr. I'm here with my wife, Desiree Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are encouraging husbands and wives in the talk of intimacy and how to build better relationships and take the opportunity to encourage someone out there that no matter what you're going through, no matter where your marriage is right now today, this is Monday, the 13th of March, 2017. Whatever you're going through in your marriage, God can heal it. God will heal it. But what are both the spouses willing to do? Are you going to submit unto the word of God and to the leading of the Spirit? And I encourage you right now today is to begin to pray, begin to communicate, begin to restore your relationship to back to where you want it to be. Because there was a time when the two of you were inseparable, when you two were in love, and when you two were committed to each other. But as time goes by, if you don't deal with this, time goes by and the little things start to eat away at it. Scripture talks about the little foxes destroy the vine. It's those little things that can break a marriage unless we do something to remember to cleave and leave and build covenant that's unbreakable and a bond that's unbreakable. Let me give you the last word before we go and just encourage the people. And then you can pray us out, babe.
I just encourage every marriage to stay strong. I believe that every marriage is meant to be, and it can be, and it shall be, a little work. And then God will do the rest. I believe that God is waiting just for us to make the right decision. And I believe that every broken marriage can be healed. Every matter can come to God under the blood of Jesus. No matter what the situation is, what the situation can be, it can be healed. I'm just going to pray for the healing of these marriages and let God do the rest. Because I am not God, but God knows. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the covenant of marriage. We thank you for the closest thing that we can emulate in you. Father God, your marriage covenant, thing I know, oh God, that represents you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the healing of marriages in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the broken hearts, oh God. I ask that you heal them, oh God, that you mend them back together. Father, no matter what goes on, oh God, I plead the blood of the situation in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you, Father, for coming into these lives and bringing them back together. Whatever God put together, let no man put it under. We thank you, Father, just for being God. Father, we just turn it all over to you, and we take this time to say thank you for every marriage that's represented on this phone right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Again, this is the Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Here is Desiree Farr, and we thank you for joining us tonight. Before we close out and before we go, I just wanted to encourage the brothers out there, husbands, fathers, and sons. For 2017, we have a 6-point challenge that we're asking the men to consider and pray about. Point one is to share the gospel with one person face-to-face every month. One person every month in 2017 to share the gospel. Hand out a tract, speak a word in someone's life, pray for their salvation, and share a gospel message. We can't assume that the unbeliever and the unsaved have heard the pure, unadulterated gospel. Amen? Point two, be discipled or mentored by a man. Bring someone into your life on purpose that you want to be under, that you want to be discipled by. You know, someone that you want a one-on-one relationship that will build you in your faith, build you in your in what you're doing, build you spiritually, that you'll be able to stand and be the husband and father that God called you to be. Point three, disciple someone. Step into someone's life. Be that person. Be that light. Be that foundation. Be that iron that sharpens iron. It may not be spiritual. It may not be someone in the church. It may be someone in your job. If you have a couple of years on your job and you have young people coming into the workforce, Take one under your wing and mentor them. Show them the correct way, the right way, the way that they'd be more productive, whatever it can be, if you're from office job to computers to if you're building houses as a contractor. Take someone under your wing and disciple them. Point four, build new friendships. We get stuck and bogged down. We've known people for 35, 40 years, and we haven't made a new friend in years. 2017, reach out and befriend someone. Build a relationship with another brother. Because friendships is one of the things that will keep a man. And a lot of men out here are very lonely. They don't have real friends they can confide in, they can be with and hang out with. And we pray that you get past the superficial of friendships and build real friendships. Point five, mentor someone. Mentor someone, that goes back to being a disciple and mentoring someone, but not in your bloodline, someone outside the box. Someone that you have nothing in common with. You know, it can be whatever. You know, you could be a blue-collar worker. They could be a white-collar worker, or cross racial lines. But just be able to mentor someone. And the sixth point is pray that God would lead you and guide you to help someone grow. Grow in their spiritual, their relationship, help them grow emotionally, help them prosper. Do something that God can use you to help someone else. Amen. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we pray that you would join us again. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Thank you for joining us, and God bless you.
Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello children, Jesus loves you of America.